Joe Pantoliano in The Matrix. I'll never get over that one. I did not see
that. God, that was the worst. Oh,
that's but then I immediately understood because I was like, real steak. Yeah, I get it. Makes sense. Ribeye.
You should do a newsletter. You should write about this in your newsletter. This is a great list. Have you already done it? I subscribe.
But no. Have you already done it? Okay. I subscribe. Got him. Hello and welcome to episode number 532 of the podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Knox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
Someone told me one time, never trust. So, look, I was
strong and I knew it was going to not work out. Give me a rasp it up.
Hello and welcome to episode number.
I'll do Coach O voice the whole episode.
Yeah, I actually would like that. That would be great.
I was taught never to trust the raspy voice kid growing up.
Right. No, it's because fair.
Their voice is raspy for a reason, and you don't know, and it's probably trouble. And here I am on an episode with gravel voice Golden. So
I know. I feel bad about it. And listen, I know I don't like to listen to an episode when they have a voice thing. So guys, I recognize that you're unhappy. So
no, you don't need to feel bad. This is courage. This is integrity. This is fighting through the pain, you know?
I'm brave. So, thank you.
Yeah. If you have a problem with it listening, maybe you need to check your heart. Okay. Maybe you should do that.
That's right.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things entertain but do not matter.
To find out more about these speculative pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast, and we're on Twitter at Podcast Pod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be talking about the Smooch, Marys, and Kills of December.
But before we do that, speaking of Smooch, Mary, and Kill, we thank you. Oh no, it's weird sounding.
It's the it's upper ranges. They're gone. They don't exist.
I gotta stay low. Okay. We think you should kill the holiday blues by smooching us on Instagram and marrying us on Patreon. Mm-hmm. Now on Instagram, we share videos like Barney getting shivved at the Thanksgiving parade. That video has 138,000 views. It is unparalleled. We also share posts where we gather up your favorite green lights or Flavortown opinions or holiday must-haves. It's a weird little community of weirdos who will not try to make you feel bad about not having your life together. And then consider marrying us over on Patreon, becoming a BFOTS. First, you join the community for $0 and start a free 7-day trial that gets you 12 months of premium content. Which, what does that include? Well, it includes cinema side pieces on fantastic films throughout the year, including this month's birthday choice for Knox, which is The Godfather. And then you get our last 12 monthly live stream AUAs. You can watch or just listen. You can also attend our December Christmas party AUA on Tuesday, December 5th at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Every pop culture news episode of The More You Know, and our series pilot program, which includes great first episodes of a lot of great TV shows, including, again, Knox's birthday pick, which is coming up this Friday, which is The Bear, but with a fun Seven Fishes twist. Okay. So simply head to Instagram.com/thepodcast or knoxandjamie.com/Patreon and hang out with us on all the other days of the week. Links are in the show notes.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
All right, Jamie, we are going to be doing the Smooch, Marry, Kills of December. And before we get into the specifics, let's just re-explain what that means. We do a lot of different preview episodes or long vision episodes, but those tend to be so concentrated on one medium and are so projected so far in advance. We don't really get to talk about pop culture in terms of like a snapshot from month to month. So that's what this is. We intend it to be a snapshot of the next month of pop culture. And accordingly, we're going to use these to help guide you on what content within a given month you should be either smooching, marrying, or killing. And if you can't figure out because you're like a baby or something, a smooch means something you should give a shot. A marry means something you should commit some time to. And kill means something you should avoid or abandon, not literal murder, because as a podcast, we have long been against murder, just as a, like, that's our platform.
We're always anti-murder.
Don't
anti-pedophile, anti-murder. Yep.
That's right. Yeah. Both of those things at the same
even
time.
Even if you, what if people murder pedophiles? No,
man, I knew I could see that little twinkle in your eye. And I was like, don't ask that question.
No, because we wouldn't do that either. No, let the legal system take care of business.
That's where. So are we anti-vigilante? Anti-vigilantes. I think we, it sounds like we are.
You know, we based are on anti-vigilante, unless it's vigilante S word. And Taylor is dancing on a chair. Sexily,
that is true. Yes, I agree with that. So we'll work on that platform plank. Jamie, December, what, like, how we feel? This is like, you know, we're not quite literally into December, but we're kind of wrapping up your birthday month. Like, yes. Are you sad to see it go?
I'm 100% sad to see it go. But Thanksgiving, because it's my favorite holiday, because there are no expectations on me. Mm-hmm. But there are expectations on me in December, so I like it a little bit less. But I still love December because I love the coziness of it all. But I've learned how to make December work for me. Would you like some of my tips?
Yeah, of course.
Yes. Okay. So first of all, I think you should relax by a fire with some of your great grandma's famous secret recipe, Delta 8 gummies. They are delicious. Okay? And then also, I like to scream into one of my festive holiday pillows that someone gave me, despite the fact that I do not celebrate Christmas, and they know that, yet they keep giving me Christmas-themed gifts. Okay? Also, I like to tweet about my weirdest family members from the bathroom during holiday gatherings. And then my biggest pro tip is to order a holiday sheet cake at the beginning of December, cut it into fours, freeze three of the fours, and then just work on one fourth every week. Like a little, when you're at stress, pull that out. Listen, that cake will last really 3 months, but why make it wait? You just have that for your December sheet cake. Publix is my recommendation, or Walmart.
Did you invent just now like the stress advent cake calendar?
Oh, like, my gosh. Yes, I did.
It kind of sounds like what you did. That's really impressive.
That's a great idea. I love a stress advent. Perfect.
Are you a big throw pillow person? I don't imagine you as like someone with a ton of throw pillows around.
No, because I'm always like, although I need them because my feet normally can't touch the ground in any couch or armchair situation. So I do like it, but I they're never cushy enough, or they're too cushy, or they maybe have a reindeer nose sticking out of it, if you want a clue about what I'm talking about. And so they're not for me. Are you a throw pillow person?
This is one of the great battles of my marriage with Ashley. She loves them because they serve a decorative purpose.
Yes, and she does a good job with them.
She does, but it just feels like insanity to have that many pillows around the house that are not made for comfort. Because so in the scenario you laid out, you said you need them to get on the couch. So are you like boosting yourself up, or once you're are you sitting
them beneath them behind me to push me forward so that my feet touch the floor. My feet don't touch the floor in my own house.
So it's pushing you forward, but you also have a little stack for your feetsies that you're like sitting them on. Like,
I do have some poofs. I do have some poofs to keep my feet elevated. I'm getting older. This is what I do.
I think that's good. I think that's good stuff. Yeah. I don't have a ton of tips because December kind of just feels like you just white knuckle through it. You know, just like get something sturdy, wear a helmet, and December's going to do whatever it wants.
Has it always felt that way for you, or has it been more like, has it been that way since you were little, or has that been more of an adult?
The kids, you know, and then
because all the stuff, the Christmas concerts.
And so then you marry, and then there's like a whole, you've got your regular family that you just got down, and now you have like a new family. And then they have all their stuff that they got to do, you know?
Yeah.
And then you got to build around that. And you're like,
what about you? And then you want to maybe do your own things as a family, but no,
that's not possible. Just forfeit that completely. Right. But I will say, there's a little soft spot at the end of December. It's that week, like the taint week, you know, because it tanked the holidays, but it tanked the new year. And that's where it can be a dumping ground if you don't get control of that. So my advice would be, like, my tip would be, plan the week after Christmas in advance. Otherwise, somebody won't plan it for you and you're not going to like it, because it's going to be
black it out.
Black it out. Have a plan. Be like, oh, sorry, we can't. We're doing this, or we've got this going, or whatever. I don't care. We're buying throw pillows for our feet. You know, if you don't, though, someone will plan that for you. Aaron, do you have any tips for the people?
Yeah. So my mom gave me this tip. This is a tip for those people who we would call, like, the magic makers. Like, maybe you're the person who helps the great present giver of Christmas. Wink, wink. But this is a tip if you've got kids that like to sneak around your house looking for hiding places. My mom taught me this tip, and it is to send Christmas gifts to the office, not your home.
Smart.
And they never know. That's what she did. We would make ourselves crazy looking for those Christmas presents.
I know, but I will tell you, the downside of that is when I come to work, they're always like, we have packages for you. And I'm always like, yay. And then they're like, it's all Aaron's Christmas. It's for all toys for kids. Yeah. I'm like, very disappointed.
Sorry. That's but not cool. It's very helpful, because my kids will ransack our house looking for the presents.
So. Aaron, were you a sneaker? Are you trying
Oh, yeah. Big time sneaker. Big time.
Jamie, I'm asking a question I know the answer to. Were you a sneaker?
Listen, not only was I a sneaker, which is also how I found out some weird family details about my family's life, some paperwork that I should probably have not seen at 6 years old. Anyway, but I also, my brother and I were so bad. We would count the gifts because my mom would just wrap them as soon as she bought them and put them under the tree. So we would count them. So she eventually had to create a coding system so that she would know, but we wouldn't know. So it'd be like a number system of like 112, and there'd be just 7 gifts for 112, and we wouldn't know who 112 was.
That's funny.
Yeah. We were horrible.
I also saw a video on TikTok of a lady who gets a hotel room one night, and she gets room service, and she brings all of her presents, and she wraps them in silence, and she watches Gilmore Girls, and she doesn't wear a bra. And I was like, that is the vibe. That's what I want to do. Nobody talks to her. She just gets to do what she wants, and she gets DoorDash, and she wraps her presents in silence.
It's a great idea.
I know. I think I'm going to do it this year.
What a fantastic idea. You should rent out like a conference room and just invite people. Be like, the only rule is there's no talking to each other, but we can all be here together.
That's no bras. Yeah.
optional on that. Okay. So we're going to talk specifics. Before we do, if people don't know, if they're just listeners, like lurking listeners, we actually do a version of this, Smooch Me Kill, on our socials. Jamie does an outstanding job every single week on Fridays, where it's the things you should be paying attention to, things you should partner with, and things you should kill on your weekend menu. So make sure you're following us on social media to get that. Let's start with our smooches of December. Jamie, what are you leading off with?
I'm leading off with the thing I have been thinking about for what feels like an entire year, and that is the movie Poor Things, starring Emma Stone. I could not be more excited about this film. This film, if you don't know, this is about a young woman, Bella, who is brought back to life from death by her guardian, the scientist Dr. Godwin Baxter, who of course is played by classic villain, Willem Dafoe. And then initially she's naive. She wants to learn about the world around her. Then she bumps into Mark Ruffalo and she's like into that and starts a relationship with him. And she kind of travels around the world and kind of is like a toddler trapped in an adult Emma Stone body. And I've been waiting on this a long time because it was supposed to come out in September. It got moved because of the strike. It comes out wide release December 22nd. And it's got like Rami Yusuf is in it. Gerard Carmichael is in it. Like, I like the weird Christopher Abbott from Girls. Like, it's a weird eclectic group. But what I love about it is I loved The Favorite. Now, do I think that Yorgos, the director, makes always good films? Not for me. Uh-huh. Not like The Lobster and The Killing of a Sacred Deer. Yeah. But the poster's fantastic. The trailer's fantastic. I will say the other thing is I think Emma Stone is really the ideal actress who can combine absurdity with grounded vulnerability. And I think she pulls that off better than maybe anyone. And so I'm just trusting the process that I'm going to love this.
Okay. I'm of two minds here, because I'm a, whatever the opposite of season tickets is for Yorgos.
Right, right.
I'm that, you know?
Right.
I'm fight on sight with Yorgos because I just feel like he makes movies that make you want to hate yourself and the movie. But I like all the elements here. I like what you're talking about. I like that Emma Stone feeling like a little bit of a goth girl going on. This is like a goth Titanic kind of situation.
Yeah.
I'm worried. Feels like we're going to get some Ruffalo nudity, you know, just in some scenes in the
100%.
Trailer.
100%. Well, she, the first nude, I think she might've been nude in Billy King, that movie. Like she might have
not the movie I would have thought. You know,
we might have gotten nipple in that, but we definitely got nipple. We got nipple from Emma Stone in The Favorite. So my guess is we're going to get nudity all the way around.
Yeah, like, Ruffalo low key feels like a sneaky like, you want me to show it? I'll show it. And they're like, no, Mark, it's a Hulk movie. We're not doing that. You know?
I think he's one that we're like, I'm ready. Like I think he comes on set and he's nude, and they're like, hey, did you go buy costuming? Because we have like a whole thing for you to wear.
Yeah. The Hulk just doesn't have any nude scenes in this one or any, just so you know. Defoe, he's really leaning into that Scarface kind of vibe, which I feel like is perfect for him.
Yes.
So I'm excited for him. I don't know what Emma Stone's up to these days, but with this and The Curse, I don't know what kind of, if she's broadening her range, if she's like, I'm definitely not going to get typecast, if she's just kind of sowing her prestige oats. But I continue to be impressed with the choice. There's a little bit of a Gosling thing going on. You know, he had his era where he was like, I'm in a movie like Drive. I think it was Drive, where it's just like, you're not going to like this. You think it's going to be one thing and you're just not going to really enjoy this experience. But I appreciate that she's leaning into that as well, because I feel like it's showing the depth of her talent. You
well,
know?
And I will say upcoming is Cruella 2, which I really liked. Cruella,
let's go. I love that one.
And then she's doing, like, truly, it's just like, and two Yorgos movies. So I do think she has Leonardo DiCaprio to herself, to Yorgos as Scorsese. Like, I think that's what she's doing. Yeah.
I don't love it. I don't love it.
But yeah, I don't want her to do it all the time. But
do you think it's, if this was election night, do you think you would be comfortable announcing, calling Jennifer Lawrence's corner for Emma Stone? Would you be comfortable making that call, like, officially?
That she's taking it?
Yeah,
that
she's taking it.
Jennifer Lawrence is taking it? No. 100% no.
Not yet.
Too close to call. Well, and listen, they're longtime close friends, the two of them.
Yeah.
And they had babies almost at the same time. Like, it was, and they both married, like, New York guys who were not really well known by anybody. And I think that's, and having dated really well-known people. And so I think they're living a very similar life. The only thing is, I think Jennifer Lawrence is more glossy and Emma Stone is weirder. But I
agree.
Think it's because of the size of her eyeballs. They're just big.
Yeah, it feels reductive to grind it down to, I feel like Jennifer Lawrence is more classically attractive. It's difficult for her to do weirder parts. And not that Emma Stone's not. She's obviously a very attractive person. But I think she has the latitude to do some weirder stuff if she wants to.
Yeah, I think it's hard for Jennifer Lawrence to be like, what? I'm weird. Do you not buy it? It's like when hot people try to be funny. You're like, no. But thank you.
Yeah. Is this where we talk about Matt Rife and his special, or do you want to save that for later?
He's only hot. He's only hot by science. He's only hot by science. So,
God, man, I'd seen him just like on the socials, you know, not like ever dove into his, I don't know, oeuvre or whatever.
Right.
But leading off his special with a domestic abuse waitress joke, just that's a move. It's not a move I would have made. But
and to pair it with an interview where he was like, I literally wanted to make this a show for guys, not for women. Women who, the reason he got a special was women.
Yeah.
And I just, that's my favorite thing when we make you famous and then you're like, I want to be rough and ready. I don't know.
He's an attractive guy though. So that's the hubris of an attractive guy. You think you can get away with that stuff.
Again, only by science. That's a lot of filler. Go back and watch Wild and Out. Those chiclets did not come from God.
Really?
They came from we will include a show notes. Andy will include in the show notes a before and after what science has done to Matt Rife. Not
the marvels
cute
of science.
And then very cute.
I'm gonna smooch American Fiction, a movie that I feel like I've heard about for 20 years. I've been so excited to watch it because of the buzz, but also because of just the tangential elements around it. This is written and directed, I think, debut feature directorial event by Cord Jefferson. And it's executive produced by Ryan Johnson. I feel like I'm in great hands there. Cord Jefferson, he's a name that's been bounced around a lot, and he's been attached to a lot of great things. Just looking at his IMDb, he was involved in Master of None. He wrote, I think, several Good Place episodes. He was heavily involved in Watchmen, and he did some writing. I might have done some directing for Station 11. So that's bulletproof to me right there. 100%. Whatever you want to make. I'm ready to listen to. The slug line for the story is a novelist played by Jeffrey Wright, who's fed up with the establishment, profiting from quote unquote black entertainment, uses a pen name to write a book that propels into the heart of hypocrisy and the madness he claims to disdain. Along with Jeffrey Wright, Tracy Ellis Ross plays his wife. Issa Rae plays kind of a rival author who her success pushes Jeffrey Wright over the crosshairs. And then Sterling K. Brown, who I did not know originally was involved, but I was so excited to see. And the immortal, the incomparable, right, mulleted Adam Brody right, is involved with this.
I knew you'd be excited.
Just the piece de resistance.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know about that. I was so excited. There's so much to like about this premise and the story. And I think Jeffrey Wright is the perfect kind of avatar for a story like this. It looks really funny. It looks really clever. I think the best kind of, this isn't quite a satire, but I feel like It straddles the line between there's something really true here and there's something kind of absurd and fun here. So I can't wait to see what Jeffrey Wright does with this.
No, I cannot wait. And the other thing I love about this is it premiered at some film festivals earlier in the year. So a lot of critics got to review it, and it is holding steady at like 96%. On Rotten Tomatoes.
So I feel like it's going to be an awards contention. And I feel like Cord Jefferson is going to be a name we hear for a long time if he has more stories in that chamber. So can't wait to see this play out. Jamie, what else are you smooching for December?
Okay. So I think a perfect artist to add to your December list of to-dos in the midst of all the crazy is Samara Joy. Samara Joy, who may like know her name because she won 2 Grammys last year, but most importantly, she won for Best Jazz Vocal Album, but she really, the impressive one was she won Best New Artist, which is a very competitive category. And she's 24 years old. It proves that Gen Z can jazz just as hard as Ryan Gosling, which is impressive. And she just released a holiday EP called A Joyful Holiday. And I was playing her album that won her all the awards, Linger a While. She has a deluxe version that came out this year as well. That is the perfect thing to add to your playlist, because I don't know what it is about jazz, but jazz feels Christmassy, even though it's not about, like, the songs are not about Christmas. And so it's the perfect, her whole playlist, like, if you just pull up Samara Joy and just play her, her voice is like, it's the opposite of what my voice is right now. It is thick and dreamy and like, you're just soothed by it. It's so impressive. And so I kind of, and I love that her, like, her parents were in a gospel choir and like a gospel group. And she like toured with Andre Crouch as like a teenager. Like, I love everything about that. So she's who I think you should smooch this December.
Okay. I'm going to smooch. This is gonna be a TV show. And this is on, the Disney Plus. And this is Percy Jackson and the Olympians. Okay. I feel like I'm taking a little bit of a risk. Honestly, the risk profile, it's like up and to the right on this one, because I feel like this could go really bad or this could be really great. This is Walker Scobell, I think is how you pronounce it, from The Adam Project. He played he played a kid version of Ryan Reynolds, and he nailed it. So if he channels any of that, I feel like this is going to be great. I think there's a market inefficiency right now for kid episodic melodrama entertainment. We're just not really getting a lot of like sustained TV shows that cater to kids, that you're like, this is great. I can sit down, watch this with my kids. They're going to love it. And we have, most notably, celebrity cameo buy-in, because we have one of the Duplass brothers, a Duply, Jay. He's going to be in this.
I love a Duply.
We have Lance Reddick, and I think in his last role since before he passed. Megan Mullally, Jason Mantzoukas as Dionysus, which is a perfect fit. And then notably, we have Lin-Manuel, who will be showing up in a casino, seemingly.
Okay, but Jamie, like maybe only for a cameo.
Jamie,
maybe.
Don't. Be nice. Be nice.
You think he's going to sing just because he can? Like, they'll be like, we made it so you could sing because we know how good you are at the vocals.
It's like, oh, he's talk rapping again. That's a new one. Interesting. You know, but I don't know. Maybe he needs this, though. Maybe he's like, hey, I've hit the skids recently. I just need like
I'm really tight on those royalties for Hamilton the musical. Yeah. It's very tough out there. Listen, my niece, my second oldest niece, Ashlyn, she loves Percy Jackson with an affection I've never seen from anybody. And all she talked about at Thanksgiving was this. Like, she's so excited about this.
Okay.
And she's an adult. And she's an adult. And she's so excited. So.
See, I did see Rick Riordan, whatever, the writer. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. He was not involved with the movies. I didn't know that because he was writing the books. So he's like, I can't really exec produce here. But he's very involved in this, like co-writing. So it has his seal of approval. And I think if you aren't familiar with the Percy Jackson series, it's just American Harry Potter, but more focused on Greek mythology and not magic. And I think on the plus side, in the holiday seasons, talk about it, you're not going to enrage your religious family members, you know, because it's not like witchcraft and sorcery and stuff like that. Downside, it does involve polytheism, which they're not going to love, but I just wouldn't focus on that. You know,
is it like the gods, right? Like Zeus and all them?
Yeah, you've got a lot of them. There were some gods and goddesses they missed out on that I would have liked. Like, I feel like we have some really good celebrity overlaps, like Artemis, you know? Like, if you listen to Faith Adjacent, I think we've talked about Artemis a little bit. She's a huge factor in the New Testament, but she's kind of like the crunchy god, you know?
And I feel like Shailene Woodley.
Shailene Woodley, boom. That would have been perfect right there. That's perfect. And then you have like Hephaestus. He's like god of the forge, blacksmithing, stuff like that. Big bearded burly guy. What'd you think? Like the collaborative workspace?
Literally the place we work is called Forge. And it took me forever to know that it was about steel. Even though we live literally in the steel city and everything here is about iron.
It's unclear. It's unclear though. You don't know that.
I couldn't even tell you if iron and steel are related. I think they are, but I don't know that. And I live here.
Aaron, can you look that up? Are iron and steel related? Because I don't know.
They are.
She won't even look it up. She's like, absolutely not.
You 100%. You're 100% on that.
Which comes first? Which one's the chicken and which one's the egg?
Great question.
I believe iron, and then it is transformed into steel.
Is iron that I take for anemia, is that actual iron? Is it little bits of steel?
No, it is not.
Well, so does that make Iron Man greater than Superman? Because he's Man of Steel and Iron Man is Man of Iron. So I don't know. Interesting, Aaron. Interesting. So, are you so sure now?
Well, she hasn't seen either of those movies. So
yeah. That's not true. I've seen all of those movies, every single one of them.
How do you think he got the name Iron Man, Aaron?
He has shrapnel in his chest from the terrorists.
Yeah. And that's it. End of story. It. And he's I'm Iron Man because of shrapnel.
He made a special thing that sucks it out, that keeps it away from his heart.
Yep. That's right.
See,
an iron
I know
vacuum.
Things.
Yep.
I know about things.
You got it. Again, you don't need to see the movies. But Hephaestus, he's god of the forge and the iron and the steel, however that breaks down. And I feel like that was Idris Elba, just big burly bearded guy.
Yes.
That would have been cool. But they didn't, and that's okay. I'm not mad about it, but I'm really looking forward to this, and I've got a lot of my hopes. And my kids have a lot of hopes on this movie.
Okay.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny & Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/podcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/podcast for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code podcast at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible for I need to limit myself to indoor only activities and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/podcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/podcastpod.
All right, Jamie, that was those are things for smooching this December. Talk to me about what you're going to marry this December.
Oh, I'm going to marry this once a week, no prenup. That is Slow Horses season 3. Mm. It actually premieres on the day this episode goes live. But what's beautiful about it, it's 6 episodes. It takes you right through December 27th. This is what you want to enjoy. Now, for those who don't know, I have greenlit both season 1 and season 2. That's how much I love this show. Slow Horses is a spy thriller, which I think might be my favorite genre of drama is spy thriller. And it's based on the Slough House series of novels by Mick Herron. So each season is one of the books in the series. And these are books that are all like 4.2 on Goodreads. So people really love this series. Slow House is kind of this purgatory for MI5 agents that are not good enough to stay in MI5, but they're not bad enough to fire due to lawsuits. And so they put all these kind of chaotic agents into this one house. And it's led by the fantastic Gary Oldman as Jackson Lamb, who is, you know, rude and doesn't bathe and maybe has an addiction to alcohol. And then everybody else that works for him, it's just this chaotic, group of people. And what's great is they keep it tight. Listen, I'm watching a show right now that is 10 episodes and it should have been fewer because I just think they just tried to push too much. It's slow. It's going slow in the middle.
Name names, and, you coward. What is it?
Murder at the End of the World.
Ah, for real?
Well, listen, the first episodes are so good. Like, beyond dynamic. I mean it. Like, I'm going to still watch it. And it's just probably, but right now I'm like, we're not making progress. What's going on?
There's nothing worse than that. Nothing.
I know. And I just think if they had cut 2 episodes off, we would have been fine. But anyway, this show, it's a nice tight 6, which I really appreciate. So for this December, you could marry the whole show. And I'm telling you, you will love it. Now, this is not for kids. There is a lot of addiction and goriness and cursing and a little nudity, to be honest. So if you are
Gary Oldman nudity?
Like I am, not yet, but hopefully, fingers crossed.
Our white whale, you know, maybe one day.
It truly is.
Now, you know, in Slow Horses, there's a guy who in one of my green lights coming up, he's in a show that I'm going to talk about, but Jack Loudon.
I love got introduced Jack to him
in Slow Horses based off your recommendation, and he is tremendous.
I love him. So
in Slow
much.
Horses and this other show. Aaron, I'm looking up. It says steel is stronger than iron. So it's kind of embarrassing for you right now.
I like that he didn't trust you. He was like, I don't think you looked it up.
No, I was just curious.
But and steel is made from iron.
Yeah, no, I know, but it's just cooler. It did. My Google search was like, it's cooler.
That wasn't the question you asked me.
Wasn't the spirit of the question, though?
No, that's not true.
No, I ask a chicken and an egg. Who's stronger, a chicken or an egg?
Not what you asked me. Will somebody roll that?
What I heard
back?
Was who's cooler, chicken or egg? And the answer I got is different from
cooler.
What Aaron gave
egg is cooler.
Absolutely
100%.
Not.
Egg is cooler.
Steel, I actually think chicken's cooler. Chicken's way cooler.
Made from iron.
No, chicken's got that weird part that you bite into and you're like, I got to spit this out. But an egg is like, all this is good. Don't worry about it.
All of this is
nonsense. Both of you are talking absolute nonsense.
Weirdly, I understand exactly what you're saying. It's the cartilage and it's not good. It's all about ceiling. Like, how high is your ceiling? You know, that's good stuff. I've got two books coming out. Okay. number one, this is called The Kingdom, The Power, and The Glory, American Evangelicals in an Age of Extremism by Tim Alberta. This looks really good. I've read an excerpt already. Tim Alberta writes for The Atlantic, and he is, I think when you're writing a book like this, about a topic like this, for me, it's a automatic buy or sell, depending on your proximity to the evangelical church. So when I read a Beth Allison Barr, I know she's got the experience. So she knows what she's talking about. Not from the outsider's perspective. Tim Alberta, similarly, comes from within the church. So he knows what he's talking about. He has the experience. He has got the receipts and the equity to comment upon the American evangelical movement. So I'm very excited to read this book. And then there's also God Save Benedict Arnold, The True Story of America's Most Hated Man by Jack Kelly. Benedict Arnold, fascinating character. He barely cracks my top seven traitors of all time.
Wow.
I think.
Give us the number one. Give us the number two or three. Well, give us the top tier.
Number one, definitely Scar from Lion King. I mean, that's just like a low down dirty, you know. Yeah. It's because he talked trash when he did it. You know, if he would have just been like, what? Sorry, can't hear you. I'll let you go. You're dead. But he's like, long live the king. That's dirty, man. That's like dirty stuff.
But, and he's also hot. I don't think Benedict Arnold was hot.
I think he was actually. I think he was.
But really?
He was kind of like Captain America.
You think all traitors have to be hot because that's how they get you? Is you're like, oh my God. Oh yeah, I'll share secrets with you.
I think you trust hot people. You know, you're just like, Matt Rife, tell me a good comedy special. And then suddenly he's making weird jokes. You're like, I don't know. This feels weird. I think Benedict Arnold was probably pretty hot, probably.
Oh, okay.
Number two, Judas Iscariot. You know, maybe he's misunderstood, maybe he's not, but he's still like
misunderstood.
He's a
misunderstood, but also a traitor.
Yeah, fundamentally, he is a traitor. Yeah.
You don't know that.
You might think it's one kind of traitor versus another, but fundamentally, Aaron, he was a traitor.
Misunderstood.
But Aaron, you have to say the words. He was a traitor, right?
But like that.
But no, just like yes or no.
There
was
are
he a traitor?
Ways that you could understand that to where he could not be. Is was what I'm saying.
Was Judas the chicken or the egg?
Ooh, interesting. Good question, Jamie. Peter Pettigrew, another traitor. Cassius and Brutus.
Why are you laughing at Peter Pettigrew?
It just sounded so funny.
He's a big traitor. Cassius and Brutus, Joe Pantoliano in The Matrix. I'll never get over that one. I did not see
that. God, that was the worst. Oh, that's
but then I immediately understood because I was like, real steak. Yeah, I get it. Makes sense. Ribeye.
You should do a newsletter. You should write about this in your newsletter. This is a great list.
Just all Verizon guy.
Have you already done it? I subscribe. But
no.
I subscribe.
Got him. So I'm excited. I'm excited about both those books. I think they're going to be really good. All right, Jamie, what else you got?
Okay, I have two books, but they're in the same category, which is Smooch, Mary, and other stuff. Spasa. So the first one, and they're both series, and their newest books come out in December. So the first one is Ruthless Vows by Rebecca Ross. It comes out December 26th. I had recommended Divine Rivals. Listen, and so many of you have DM'd me because you've read it, and you've been like, this is amazing, but how dare you recommend me a book that has a sequel? Because it really does end on a solid cliffhanger. But this is only a 2-book series, so all your needs will be met by the end of this calendar year. So as a reminder, Divine Rivals is about two rival journalists in a world where they are basically, they're trying to hold the whole society together.
Okay. Two journalists are?
Weirdly enough, yes, at the Oath Gazette. That's right. And she writes letters to her brother, and then they vanish because she slips them under a wardrobe a la C.S. Lewis, and they disappear, and she doesn't know where they go. So it's a very magical world. And so her rival, that's who gets the letters when she puts them under the wardrobe. It is chaos, but it's also sexy. And then the other book is a new one from Evie Dunmore, which is called The Gentleman's Gambit. This is an extraordinary women series. This is book four. I would skip book three. That shows my vibe. But books one and two, I greenlit book one many years ago. And then this is book four. Book four is fantastic. I got an early copy of it. This is about a bookish suffragette. I mean, can you even? That's fantastic. She has a writer's block. It's a tense time in the women's rights campaign in England. And then she works at Oxford. It's very sad. And then suddenly, this guy comes along, and it's a romance. It's a classic romantic book that has sexy time. Both of these books have open door scenes in them. So if that's not your thing, you're missing out because it's a great thing. And I love both of these books. So if you're looking to marry something, these series are great. If you're looking for just a fun, lighthearted in the midst of a stressful season and you want a little escape, these both series are fantastic.
Okay. My last Mary for December is the movie. That I've pushed all my chips in on similarly. You know, Jason and I talked about this week, all the season I have, ridden my Ohio State will beat Michigan take. I've ridden it straight into hell. And I did, and I was wrong, you know, it's okay. It's okay. But I'm also going to ride my Glenn Powell is meant to be a superstar take straight into hell as well.
Right.
So I hope I'm not wrong on this one, but look, I, you know, and the more, you know, this week, we talked about, duo couplings in a little bit. There's a hypothetical Twilight duo coupling that some people are whispering about. I was not either. So I think that if you're in that kind of mood with Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney, you'll enjoy it the more, you know, but look, they're both red hot. I think neither are critically adored like they should be. I think there, if you really like squint, this is kind of like code switching Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Like we're going to fake being together. I don't know. Maybe we get together. Maybe we fall in love in the faking. Who knows? But I think more importantly, from my perspective, I think a few years ago, Bradley Cooper really abdicated that hot, tan, douchebag, apex predator, sexy guy.
Yes.
And it's time for someone to fill that vacuum. Army Hammer tried, didn't have what it takes. Turn him into cannibal, you know, so that's sad for him. But I think
also he's back on it. Sidebar, did you see he's back on Instagram?
No.
Army Hammer came back in the gym, posted a gym bro fit, and then tagged and then wrote Thanksgiving, gobble, gobble.
Oh, buddy, dude, you can't hard launch back into cannibal jokes.
Read the room.
No. Or was it a great move? Just like really lean right into it.
Right into it. Like, and I think you do that if you're not a cannibal, but I think you'd also do it if you were a cannibal.
Man, incredible. Incredible. I've watched another trailer. I don't know. They released like a follow-up. I really like what I'm seeing here.
Yeah.
It's really isolated on the two of them. They kind of look like the worst people ever. And it's one of those, it's kind of like a buddy cop-ish movie, you know, amongst the cop. I don't know. I feel good about it. And maybe it's my Glenn Powell blinders. But I'm hoping for the best year.
Again, Glenn Powell, he posted on Instagram this weekend that he was with his parents at the Jefferson Memorial because that is where his dad proposed to his mom, and they like reenacted a photo of him proposing to her. And I was like, am I in love with you? I want to be in your family. This is the most adorable thing. So I want only good things for both he and Sydney. Like,
I feel like if you're throwing down a proposal in DC, the Jefferson Memorial is probably one of the weirder ones. It feels like the Lincoln, that's the obvious one. You know, you don't want to go.
But then Lincoln's in it. You don't want Lincoln. But see, Jefferson, it's just like, look at these columns.
Tommy Jeff's got some baggage, though. Got some baggage when it comes to marriage.
He did not stay committed to that one wife. I'll tell you that.
No. You've got the Vietnam Memorial. That's probably not what you want to do either. So I would just say don't do a DC proposal. Maybe.
You don't want to do the soldier that's watching over the unknown soldier. Like, you don't want me to be like, hey, can you
the soldier who's watching over the unknown soldier. That's
well, I was mainly thinking about him taking the pick. Hey, can you click this for us real quick?
It's supposed to be really quiet up here, but yeah, I'll go ahead and take that pick. Really good. It's a great memorial, but yeah, also not a good one.
Is DC romantic at all? I don't think so.
Oh, probably not. You could do when
the cherry blossoms come.
That's true. Cherry blossoms are good. Stunning.
That's where what's her name got pushed on the train in House of Cards. You could do it there. That'd be fun. That'd be a good one. Do you have another Mary for December, Jamie?
Yes, I have one more. And this one is kind of a cheat because three episodes are already out.
Okay.
But it will continue into January. So it's like, so you're marrying it in the middle. Okay. But I've already watched the first three episodes and I'm very into it. So I'm hoping it can hold its serve. And that is the fifth season of Fargo. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I love Noah Hawley. I think both Knox and I have always been a fan of Noah Hawley, who created this show based obviously on the movie. And the first two seasons are impeccable to me. Like, they're just so great. Third and fourth season, really the fourth season is not good.
That's
like,
a Chris Rock DNF'd season?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's a tough one. It's really bad.
It's very tough. It's hard to talk about racism in the northern Midwest. I don't know. It's just, it felt weird and it felt like they didn't know how to do it. And they were like, I don't know. Anyway, but this season is so weird. Listen, the first episode, if you don't love the first episode, you can quit because you won't like the rest of it.
Yeah.
Jennifer Jason Leigh playing a matriarch who wants everyone to hold assault rifles in the Christmas photo. I will not get over it. I will not get over it. The characters in this are so good. Juno Temple is leading it.
She's
which
great.
I thought in the final seasons of Ted Lasso that they did not give Juno Temple enough to do.
What do you mean? She had a business in a lesbian love interest potentially. So that's good stuff.
Yeah. I know that men think that's great, but it felt like it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And so, but then the John Hamm of it all, listen, that's all I care about is John Hamm in this.
Okay. Like his performance or his butt? Just be honest.
His bottom. It is impeccable. And I do think he makes a really great, weird sheriff. This is because in the past, I feel like they've not given the women, unless they're the cop, you haven't always given the women a lot to do. But Juno Temple, she has given so much and it's layered upon layered. And every episode you leave going, okay, well, I want to watch the next one. So you'll have to pace yourself because it only comes out once a week. So there's, I think at the time of this episode coming out, there's four episodes, maybe three or four.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's back to form of the Fargo's of the past.
I agree. I completely agree. Hamm's great. Juno Temple's great. I did bump on Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Really?
I don't know. I feel like she's doing a little like soft Foghorn Leghorn and I just need her to pick a lane,
no, for sure.
You know?
Okay. But see, I'm into that. Like 100%.
I'm not against it. It's just, she's just changing from episode to episode. And she's like,
that's true. That's true.
Nah, I say my daughter.
I do like the guy with the eye patch too.
From News
Radio.
Kids in the Hall, dude. That's good stuff.
Yes. Love him. I will say, when I think of Jennifer Jason Leigh now, all I think about is, oh, that's right. You were pregnant with what's-his-face's baby, and then he cheated on you with Greta Gerwig, and now they're married.
Oh, is that for real?
Yeah, that's for real. Like,
Noah Baumbach? So, I did not know that.
Noah Baumbach, yeah. They were together. He met Greta Gerwig on a film. They fell in love, but then pretended they didn't fall in love.
Dang.
And then he left Jennifer Jason Leigh while she was pregnant with his baby.
That's tough. It's not great.
Greta Gerwig did that too. She participated in that too. So, you know, it's not great.
But Barbie would not approve of that.
Barbie would not approve. She would not.
I think of her in Hateful Eight. That's my favorite performance of her.
Oh, that's a good performance.
It's a good movie. Aaron, have you seen the Hateful Eight? And do you have any idea what it's about?
Not.
Do you want to guess?
It sounds like it is about a group of cowboys who go on a journey to rectify their bad reputations and regain their good names.
I mean, it's like a bottle episode movie because they're stuck in a place in a snowstorm. So
are they cowboys?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a great Tarantino movie. It's a great Tarantino movie.
Listen, Jennifer Jason Leigh, my favorite performance always will be single white female. Like,
that's a good one.
old school really classic. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the Brushed Rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you'd like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Okay, so that is Mary's. Let's go ahead and go to Kills of December. Jamie, what do you have?
Okay, up first, and I don't feel good about this. I want good things for these players, but it is the Netflix movie Family Switch.
Okay.
This is not for me. This is a movie on Netflix that comes out this week. It currently has no reviews anywhere, which should be your first sign that something's amiss. Okay. So this is based on a woman and a man, Jess and Bill, who are doing their best to keep their family connected as their children grow older, more independent and distant. When a chance encounter with an astrological reader called Rita Moreno causes the family to wake up to a full body switch on the morning of the most important day of each of their lives. So the son switches with the dad.
I have a question really quick. Did you say the person is called Rita Moreno?
Did I say Rita?
No, you said Rita, but I feel like that's a pun. If you're reading like palms,
oh,
and your name's Rita Moreno.
Rita Moreno.
But no, it is just Rita. Okay.
Well, it's the actress, you know, EGOT winner, Rita Moreno.
Oh, it actually is her. Okay.
No,
sorry.
It is her. Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, I messed that up.
This is the dad switches bodies with the son. Daughter switches bodies with the mom. The baby switches bodies with the dog.
I like that. That's actually good.
Exactly. Now, first of all, let's talk about it. This is directed by Mick G. I didn't even know he was still a thing. Okay.
Oh.
Starring Jennifer Garner and Ed Helms as the married couple. Here's my issue. She had a baby. She's 51. What? Why? She had a baby.
She looks great. I don't have any issue with that. Listen, I have an issue with
you're looking great. Doesn't increase your fertility at 51.
No, it doesn't. Like, but you can pretty. Talk me again, hot person. You can talk me in anything. You did that. Okay, cool. I believe that. More of an issue with Ed Helms being able to woo Jennifer Garner.
No, into courtship. No marriage. Way. There's yeah. no way. And listen, I care very much about the Jennifer Garner love history. I want her paired with people who are equitable to her. Because she's very hot. As I sit here on the countdown of my prediction that J-Lo and Ben Affleck would break up this year. And it looks like we on task. Okay.
Oh, are we? I saw him smooching on a couch in like a furniture store or whatever.
Did you
according
see,
to my
did
internet.
You see him looking at her while she told him funny stories and he just looked miserable. Poor anyway, guy. It's great. This is not, listen, if this ends up being great, great. Like, I want success for these players. And I know that she had a deal with Netflix to make, like, 3 family films. She did that Bad Day, No Good, It's Awful, Alexander.
Yes,
I don't know.
Day.
Yes, yeah. Day.
Well, she actually, wait, Aaron, she's talking about a different films? Movie. She's actually no, talking about an adaptation. Yeah. So, somebody's No Good, Very Bad Day or whatever.
Yeah. And then she made, and listen, she was partnered well in that. Isn't that the one? Which one's with the hot guy from, the hot guy from Narcos. Hot Narcos?
That from would be Sicario. I don't know if he's actually okay. Wow. I think you're talking about Yesterday because he is a hot man.
Yesterday. Yeah. So that was an equitable. I don't think the other one was. Like, I want her to be equitably hot with the people she's with. I just don't think we need all the switches. I'm sure it'll have some fun moments because the dog. I wish they'd just done the dog and the baby.
Oh, now we've got like a dog with a blog situation. And you know your boy's in. I'm all in on that.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
So, I agree with you. I think we started at the top. We're anti-murder. We're anti-pedophile. We're potentially anti-vigilante. I would say we also need to be anti-body switch movies.
Yeah.
Because there are just a whole number of issues that come into play. First time you got to go to the bathroom that I don't think anybody wants to get into, you know? And I just
think about the son now. You know, but he's probably seen his diglet already.
The son has seen his own diglet. I feel confident.
The son has seen his dad's diglet. Isn't that how people, I don't know how dads.
I feel like you're very blasé with that fact of that just like happening. Got that thing slinging around all over the house.
I know, but like, I mean, it has been a long time since I've seen my mom's boobs, but I'm sure I saw my mom's boobs when I was little.
It does, my journalistic instinct says to follow up and be like, how long's it been? You know?
And I want listener feedback on Instagram. Let us know, have you seen your dad? Ira can't. Don't answer that question. Oh my gosh. Because I'm going to open up a box of trauma, and I don't know that we want to have that on our Instagram.
Man, this looks so bad. And you're right. And I think this is a kill. This looks just like worse yesterday, all up and down. And I haven't even heard about it. So that's a good pick. I'm going to go more prestige, but stay in the feature cinema realm. And I am going to say the movie event Wonka. I think it deserves a kill shot.
Little Timothée.
That's the tricky part of it all, right? It's Timothée Chalamet. And he's like just a guaranteed bucket at the box office. Got great taste. Always up to good things. I've seen the trailer once. I've seen it twice. I've seen a different trailer. I just don't think he has the necessary W-Riz to pull off Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
And I think people don't realize this is way more musical than it is movie. It's not quite like it's a musical, but there's going to be lots of singing in this thing and people aren't ready for that.
I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. No.
And I think it feels like with musicals, you got to like lean in and be a musical or you just can't, or you have like one or two songs. La La Land is as close as it gets, you know, to straddling the line between there's a lot of music, but there's also like some good drama here. And I just think people are going to go into this prepared for like Johnny Depp, but cooler. And they're going to get something weirder. And I just, we've talked about this, but it's directed by a guy most known for the Paddington movies, which, I mean, that is what that is, you know?
Right.
I think this is against Chalamet's skill set. He's nuanced and understated. This asks him to be like real big. I think there's a reason that Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, leaned into the dark and gritty. It's because he's got the vibe for it. And I think Chalamet does too. And I can't really for the life of me understand what the move is. I don't know if he's trying to peel them normals with this, or he's trying to like keep his appeal like multi-quadranted instead of like getting art house and like, you know, coastal elites. But I just don't think it's a good fit.
Do you think this was his move to do like Marvel without having to do Marvel? Like, I don't have to commit for a lifetime. And maybe I'm trying to model myself after Johnny Depp, which I don't know that that's the role model you want to pursue.
It's not. I think Dune is. That's Dune, right? Yeah. And he's got it.
Yeah.
And he's doing it.
You're right.
So I don't know. I don't know if he's just like trying to stretch out his skill set and be like, well, I did
also,
that.
Also, this has Matt from Great British Baking Show in it. I don't like that.
I don't like that.
I was hoping he was gone.
It's Hugh Grant.
Not dead, but just gone.
Wow, that's a good clarification because that would have been dark.
Yeah,
you know, based off our last segment where you talked about things, that would have like been a double down dark. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like the people involved. I feel like it's got stink bomb on it. So watch out for people. Jamie, do you have another kill for December?
I do. And this makes me nervous to say this because I want this to be good, but I don't think it's going to be good. And that is Adam Driver as an Italian again. Did we not learn from the Gucci movie? Why is he Ferrari? I don't like the trailer. He seems sad, but not in a like meaningful way, just in a sad way. So this is the movie Ferrari that comes out Christmas Day. The three big movies that are coming out Christmas Day are The Color Purple, which is a musical, and Ferrari and The Boys on the Boat, which is just, I think, sad, pale, skinny boys on a boat in the Depression.
Now, I saw a trailer for this in my upcoming Dad Light. It's not sad. It's sports.
Oh.
It's uplifting.
Oh, I'm back in.
It's about rowing and crew.
It's got that pale, like desaturated vibe to it in the trailer. So I didn't know, like,
you're not wrong.
Like,
oh, there's different. Right. There's definitely a Seabiscuit look, but humans.
Right.
And it's like, who's the best villain in the 30s? If you want to like rally everybody on one side, who
Hitler.
Are you going up against? Exactly. Hitler. So we're rowing against the Germans, baby. And I don't even know if that's historical, but it makes you want to root for them.
So this movie is about Enzo Ferrari. Can we be done with biopics? Just for the record, I think I am good. I am good. I talk about what TV show made me so mad that I used to love and greenlit and now I hate it. I talk about that in The More You Know. But the trailer was boring. Michael Mann, who's directing this, you know, Michael Mann, almost 81 years old, who hasn't had a good movie in 20 years.
Sure.
Because he made Black Hat. You remember how much we loved Black Hat?
Oh, that's not good.
And Miami Vice. Do you remember how much we loved Miami Vice?
Listen, he did Heat, and he can cook off Heat.
Yeah,
for a while.
But that was 30 years ago. That's what I'm saying. It's like just
people don't forget, Jamie. Okay, people don't forget. People love Heat. You know.
Anyway, I would suggest seeing The Sad Boys in the Boat, or maybe Happy Boys in the Boat, or The Color Purple instead of this. Adam Driver, stop it. Stop.
They're very happy. Again, they're very happy boys in the boat. I will tell you that. They're very happy.
Go see Happy Boys in the Boat. That's what I will do.
That would have been a better title. Is it time for Adam Driver to fire his agent?
I think it might be. Listen, I promise you, it would be a competition between the worst movie I saw this year was either 65.
Don't say it. Why you have to do that?
Or that Ashton Kutcher, Reese Witherspoon horror film that was a rom-com. That was horrific. Those are like the two worst films I saw. You should not be in the worst film that I saw this year. I've seen over 60 films. You should not be in one of the worst ones. You're okay. Adam Driver.
So, Aaron, I'm going to tell you who is potentially in Ferrari. You tell me, you spot the lie, okay?
Okay.
Adam Driver, obviously. Patrick Dempsey. Pee Wee Herman. Shailene Woodley. Penelope Cruz. Which of these people are not actually in Ferrari?
Pee Wee Herman is dead.
Yeah, I mean, they filmed this a while ago.
Oh.
It's not a reality show, you know.
Oh.
That'd be cool, though, if it was.
It's not a live version of Peter Pan.
I still think he was too dead. I think he's been dead for too long.
Wow. Okay. So Pee Wee Herman. That's actually right.
Pee Wee Herman.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
Don't try to trick me.
I tried to trick you. All the rest are, though.
I can't be tricked.
But that's a weird, I would actually, it would make more sense for Pee Wee Herman to be in this as a dead person than Shailene Woodley. What?
She plays a character named, I am not making this up or mispronouncing this, Lena Lardy. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what's happening here.
I don't know. I don't like that. I'm not into this. I don't need Ferrari. I don't need it.
Jack O'Connell is in this. I love Jack O'Connell. So he's a season.
Well, yeah.
Jason, you will watch this, won't you? Ferrari. Big Ferrari guy over here.
Oh, because listen, I did see an F1 TikTok, Jason, that I watched 30 times in a row. Because some guy is getting, like, they're in F1 behind the scenes. I don't know what they're doing, but they're walking together. And he, like, touches the hand of a girl I think he's in love with.
Oh.
And then he, like, doesn't really look at her, but he, like, strokes her arm. But I think they're in love. And so I'm going to report back.
How many strokes? Over two and a half, it gets inappropriate.
What, down and up. That's close.
Wow.
I was like, am I in love with F1 now? Are they hot with, like, okay, are they hot?
Hot people.
Well, I know they're hot.
Yeah.
But are they hot with, like, romance? Like, I was like, this should be a novel. Yeah. I'm into this. I don't know what
are horny or hot people with, like, doing horny stuff? Yeah, to answer your question, Jamie, they are 100%.
It's my favorite thing they do.
Okay, that is our conversation on the smooches, the Marys, and the kills for December. If you've thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. KnoxandJamie.com/532. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's
get it!
No!
Get it! Do it!
For those who don't think it's live every time. Okay, wait.
Do a reel, power through it, whatever it sounds like, we'll fix it in post. Jason, don't.
Let's do some lights!
You sound like Ron McDonald just got kicked in the gonads. Incredible.
I'm so sorry.
Is your red light today?
Okay, my red light is Hulu. Okay, I'm watching a ton on Hulu right now. Perhaps some future green lights, perhaps not. I actually talked about all I watched in November that didn't make the green light cut in this week's The More You Know on Patreon. This is an ad, become a BFOTS. But back to Hulu. When I open the app, okay, and I scroll through my name, we just passed 7 of my friends and family who freeload off of me. It opens to the main page, okay? And on the main page, there's a brand new limited TV series called Faraway Downs. And I'm like, what is this? 6 episodes. The visual that I see on the screen is Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman looking iconic with a sweeping vista. And I'm like, I'm a pop culture podcaster. How do I not know about this?
Yeah.
Like, how have I not heard of this? I haven't heard of it because it's not new. It is the 15-year-old film Australia that has been repackaged by its own director, Baz Luhrmann, into a TV show. He took his cutting room floor footage, added 30 minutes, and tried to trick us into thinking this is new. And guess what? It's not new. And I was like, I wonder if this half hour will bump its 54% original Rotten Tomatoes score. It didn't. It has a 44% score on Rotten Tomatoes. And I was like, is this just a strike move? Like, we're just going to take movies and be like, no, it's a TV show. Don't worry about it. And Baz Luhrmann did all these interviews, and he was like, yeah, I just think it's better as a TV show.
What?
No, you don't. You want a beach house, and this is how you got a beach house. I was so mad at Hulu. I was like, how dare you trick me?
To be honest, like, I don't understand. When I go to Hulu, I'm going for a show I'm watching, right? So I show up at the same time every week to do the same thing every week, and it'll be a 10-episode season, and I'll be showing up for the final. And when I get to that home screen, nowhere to be found.
You
it's like, what do you think I'm doing here?
Hulu, why do you keep moving the continue watching? Why do you move it? Just leave it under the top, under Hugh Jackman and Nicole Kidman. Just leave it there. I don't want to watch these other. I think Hulu has the worst algorithm, like truly. Whereas Netflix is like, I'm going to feature, because you love Hugh Grant, I'm going to feature Wonka with just a picture of Hugh Grant as an Oompa Loompa because it knows I love Hugh Grant. I like that manipulation. That's perfect. But whatever Hulu's doing is not working.
Hulu's like, you've been here 42 weeks in a row watching the same thing. We're not going to serve it to you. You're going to have to search.
You are going to have to find
with your remote.
And good luck finding that search button.
An uncircumcised Philistine. That's how much I hate you.
Right. Okay, what's your red light?
Okay, this is good because I'm going to red light the... I saw this a lot this Thanksgiving. And it's the series of commercials from Mean Girls on behalf of Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
And this is... I don't feel like I'm a... pearl-clutching Puritan or dilettante. I don't know what dilettante means, but I'm just going to hope it applies here. I'm not any of those things. If you want to get paid. No issues there. But when I watched this series of commercials, the Damien one really broke me. It's the one that sent me over the top. And I want to be clear. Like, I don't blame Lindsay Lohan or Lacey Chabert or Damien or Kevin G or even Missy Elliott for taking the Walmart money. Like, I get it. I think this was the first time that I really felt the blunt force artlessness of it all, you know, like the graceless donkey braying of iconic lines into our faces in the spirit of promoting Walmart's Black Friday deals.
It was Walmart Black Friday deals, and I was a woman possessed, along with everyone else at North Shore.
I can't with these kids.
Well, they're all distracted. It's those Walmart Black Friday deals.
What's this?
Someone started a deal book that's been going around.
It's full of secrets.
Who would write that about a blender?
Shut up! Another Walmart deal just dropped.
Shut up.
I didn't say anything. Let's get out of here. Yeah. Glad I could help. Oh, Mathletes needs more girls.
That just felt like a bridge too far for me, you know? And I think it's just, it was another reminder that nothing is sacred here at the precipice of the hollowed out and godforsaken nostalgia / late stage capitalism singularity. You know, everyone's dignity and standards now have price tags attached, and it doesn't matter who's writing the check. And I think if however many years ago, if you told Tina Fey that her movie would be stripped for parts in a bid to boost shareholder value for Walmart, I feel like she'd been like, I'd rather not.
Listen, and how could we even have a Mean Girls without Regina George? Like, how would you even suggest? You should have offered her whatever it took to get Rachel McAdams in this if you were to do it. And Amanda Seyfried, why are you here? You're supposed to be a good actress. What
yeah, you you're here? Above this. You should be above this. You don't need this. No. Thank God for Rachel McAdams saying yeah. No. And Aaron yeah. Samuels, probably. I don't know if you got the call. But just being like, no, I'm not doing this. Because it was disgusting, honestly. I feel like I'm relatively unable to be offended. And I was aghast and offended at them throwing fetch in my face to try to get me to buy another Keurig. For $79, it's a great price. It is. I'm not gonna lie, but like, don't. These are different things, and you shouldn't
they
be combining
different things.
Them.
I don't like it. That's
disgusting.
Right.
Jamie, what's your green light this week?
Okay, I have two green lights. So the first one is a new Christmas movie. Listen, I can't even believe I'm saying this because I thought all the Christmas movies were done. However, you know, Knox and I really love The Family Stone. I kick off the season with The Family Stone. I watched it on Thanksgiving night. Knox, I think you and Ashley watch it on Christmas Eve.
That's right.
And so I was like, I wish there was another poignant, dialogue-driven, cozy, heartwarming holiday film. And there is. And it's called The Holdovers, starring Paul Giamatti. Listen, it is it's not our new Family Stone. It is like they're going to make great cousins at the Christmas. Mm. So this is from Alexander Payne, who did Sideways, where that's how we kind of really were introduced to Paul Giamatti, other than when he was Paul Giamatti was in Pretty Woman. Was it Pretty Woman?
No idea.
My Best Friend's Wedding?
You think of Jason Alexander's in Pretty Woman. That's always weird to me.
That's right. Paul Giamatti is in My Best Friend's Wedding in the hotel because she's like, I'm locked out of the room. It doesn't matter. Here's the thing. This is about a New England prep school where this instructor who is a curmudgeon, as you know, Paul Giamatti, is forced to stay on campus during Christmas break to babysit the handful of students who have nowhere to go. They are called the holdovers. Okay. This ensemble is fantastic. Kid is just, I was like, oh my God, is this the new Timothée? Like, what is happening? It is Dominic Sessa, and he plays kind of a brainy troublemaker. This is his first feature film. He's iconic in it. And then it has the school's head cook, who is Divine Joy Randolph, who we love here at the
season
podcast.
Tickets. Yeah.
Season tickets. That's right. So this is the movie you're looking for. Because, you know, a smaller budget, no rehashing of old IP, character driven, and a vibe. Listen, they changed everything in this movie, including just the opening credits where you have the like focus features. They changed their logo to be 70s vibe. Everything in this is 70s vibe without the disco and Watergate. You know, it like felt like it was made in the 70s, but like better quality. And I do think it might be Paul Giamatti's best work. And I love him. I'm a John Adams fan and I love him in that. I also love him in Saving Mr. Banks, but this is a very fantastic film. And it's still in the theaters. It's been out a few weeks, but like if you're looking for a date night to escape all the chaos of the season, this is it. It is so fantastic. I'm going to rewatch this. I now know every year I'm going to own it. I'm going to love it. It's going to be fantastic.
Man, I was making plans last night to see a movie this week, and I was trying to narrow down between Holdovers and Napoleon. And that Rotten Tomatoes score, so good on the Holdovers, not so good on Napoleon. And there's Holdovers is a little more efficient. So I was skewing Holdovers, but I think that put me
I would be curious. I think you would really like it. It was fantastic. So, and then my other one really quick, it's another feel good watch, particularly like me and you're feeling the effects of aging in a more acute way, which is the new comedy special from Mike Birbiglia called The Old Man and the Pool. This is not like my other favorite stand-ups who tell like five jokes in every minute, who make every short side story hilarious. This is kind of a bigger investment in storytelling. Literally the story consultant on this is Ira Glass.
If that
gives you any concept. But he's painting this bigger picture. It's kind of stand-up meets memoir. And it's a perfect sequel to his last special, which is called The New One, which was him begrudgingly becoming a parent. And all of that all of what that entailed. And this is kind of what comes next. He's talking about his daughter between the ages of 3 and 6. And what's great is it's his messy path to dealing with aging and health issues and anxieties and thoughts about death and sugar fries, which are not a thing, but should be a thing. It felt like an hour of therapy, but like you're not the worst person in the room, which is normally how therapy goes, which means it was awesome. So it's on Netflix. It's worth your time. I promise. It was really, really good.
I am going to green light. I've got 2 green lights this week. I'm going to go first. I'll go dad light. And this is Trolls 3. I think it's actually referred to as Trolls Band Together. And we saw this. We took the girls, I guess, the day before Thanksgiving to cousins. It was a whole experience. Now I know, like, fact check myself. I was documented to have fallen asleep during this movie. So
yes, I saw that story.
Full accountability. You know, I would not blame the movie. I would blame my lifestyle. So I don't want that to spill onto Anna Kendrick or Justin Timberlake or anything like that. But my girls brought me up to speed in like the 10 minutes I was asleep. And it was, you know, it was like Dark Night of the Soul. Trolls got to do cool stuff, and they do. And I was back for the end. So I got basically like all the good parts. But basically, this is the story of Poppy realizes that Branch was part of the boy band Brozone with his brothers, who the brothers, the voices will, I have a hard time watching animated movies and not knowing who's talking to me. So I try to figure it out, but then eventually I have to know. But you've got, David is in there. I think Kid Cudi's in there. Troye Sivan's in there. There's a lot of great voices, in this movie. And really, I think who steals the show are the villains, Velvet and Veneer. Velvet is Amy Schumer, and Veneer is played by Andrew Rannells, who was in Girls. He's like one of those iconic character actors.
So good.
But for me, Kenan Thompson really steals the movie as Tiny Diamond. But this is, it's basically just
is that a
really great
name?
Music.
Tiny Diamond?
It's so good. And he wants to convince everybody he's not a baby, but he is a baby. And I love that for him and the movie. But it's just incredible music the whole time. So it's just the whole movie's like a big old bop. And there's some character stuff in the middle that's not really important, but the kids will love it. It's really, really well done. We really enjoyed it. And then the proper green light this week is the TV show on Paramount Plus called The Gold. And ooh. Jamie, you mentioned, I guess, whatever the whatever at the end of the world, like 2 episodes
a
too long.
Murder at the End of the World.
Yeah. Murder at the End of the World. This is one of those British shows. And I think the Brits are great at economical episodic television. So I want to say this is like a 6-episode season. So it really gets in there, tells the story, gets out, not a lot of fat on it. But basically, in terms of the story, this is based on true events, which I did not know. But it's kind of like it's The Wire meets kind of blue collar British Ocean's 11, you know?
Ooh.
And it's the story of a gold robbery, basically. And it's slow burn procedural. And basically a crew of robbers, they're trying to rip off like a small sum of money, and they accidentally take like $26 million in gold bars, and then they got to figure out what to do with it. So hijinks ensue for the criminals and for law enforcement. There's a dude from Downton Abbey who's really awesome in it. And I think for me more than anything is this felt like it was a show with people who are on the cusp of becoming superstars. You know, like a Jack Loudon. There's a detective, I forget her name, but she's redhead. She's incredible in it. It's all these people I didn't know, but I feel like I'm going to be seeing for the next 10 years. So if you like a nice, easy, procedural, kind of British paced heist thriller, you're going to love The Gold on Paramount Plus.
Oh, I want to see this. Okay,
so good. So really good. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And before you go, remember, anytime you do any shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to amazon.com/shop. Make sure to go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcastfirst. So you purchase your affiliate link or favorite item purchase using that link this week was. Jamie, this is a Tipsy Elves Ugly Christmas Cardigan.
Okay, and this cardigan is specifically for women. And the reason I know that is all the models of the 15 styles are very much trying to make an ugly sweater super sexy. And to be honest, they're nailing it. They're nailing it. They look so sexy. A couple of them in a push-up bra. Love it. Okay. But my favorite review, 1 star out of 5. This comes... It's a verified purchase who says, I only wore this for 2 hours and lost 4 of the ornaments. The ornaments are barely hanging on. I can't even walk down a hallway without hearing my balls bounce. So embarrassing.
It's good that it's a female product, I would say.
I know. All right, you guys. Don't forget to smooch us on Instagram, marry us on Patreon, which will kill all your FOMO for December. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.